Hello everybody and welcome to episode 3 of the Kazumatsu.org Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. I'm your host, Aspidey, and joining me today we have Biscuit Dough, Pepe, and Bowie. Bowie, would you please introduce yourself?
Hey there, I'm Bowie on the forums, on the podcast, pretty much everywhere. I'm part of the Southeast US gang, and favorite key work would be Little Busters. Favorite key character would be Kotaro.
Nice choice.
And you're feeling a bit under the weather today, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got a diagnosed with bronchitis a couple of days ago, so gonna try to power through it.
Yeah, let's see how we go.
The Kazumatsu area way.
Yep.
Just plow through even if you're in horrible pain.
Who needs sickness when you have Kazumatsu?
So, to start us off, we're discussing episode 3, Love and Flames, and I am here with a 30-second recap. Are you timed with Biz? Are you ready for this?
We are ready.
Yeah, we're timing it for you, SP. Whenever
right.
You're ready.
Ready, set, go!
This week on A Certain Magical Ghost Bitch, our non-protagonist falls in love as he experiences real food for the first time. Moist Saito gets the map all wet again, and it's up to our espers to run through CG alleys and mortally wound a man. We're introduced to a mentally handicapped idol, and a ghost with a temper tantrum tries to burn the building down but somehow misses. Our team concocts a plan more half-baked than the marshmallows involving taking out a group of trained thugs with no resistance whatsoever. We're given some last-minute feels as the ghost friend-zones her old friend. Our lolly ruins the episode again, and we abruptly cut to a...
You're out of time, bud. Sorry.
Perfect. Just when
what a
the
shame.
Episode is ending.
What a shame.
That's it's also the way the episode ended, so...
It's fine. There's just a little buzzer over the stolen joke, so it'll work.
I liked it. I liked the part about the mentally handicapped person.
I like the part about you falling in love.
So what the hell was with this episode, guys?
I'll start because I had fun. It made me laugh. It made me excited. It made me excited.
Did
the
it
way
make
they
you cry?
Chose. No, it did not make me cry. I don't think. I'll anyway. I enjoyed this episode, like, legit entertained, but I don't think it was well made. Yeah, and I think most people agree.
I think we can all agree this is the weakest episode so far.
So far.
Yes.
I just hope it doesn't become a habit.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've been saying time and time again. The time will tell on this show. Everyone's like, it looks pretty good so far, and I'm just like, just wait. Just wait a little bit. A lot of people who were digging Angel Beats basically by the kind of the second, but the third episode, a lot of people were just kind of like, I'm not feeling this. So it's going to have to stand the test of time.
Yep.
Personally, I thought the first two episodes were really solid, but this one is weird. It felt like it was almost had like different people working on it. Like, you get that case of some anime where, like, the first few episodes are great, and then there's the next episode, which is kind of, like, in the middle, and it kind of just drops off a cliff.
I mean, I remember like that. Like, there's a lot of different episode, like, animation directors per episode.
The famous example would be Gurren Lagann for me. Just episode 4, where it's, like, it's an amazing series so far, and then just drops off the cliff, and the animation goes to shit.
I don't even remember what happened in Gurren Lagann. Anyway.
But, yeah. Like nothing.
That's a mental block.
You probably repressed it. Anyway, yeah, so it's kind of weird. Like, it felt like there was just no direction at points. Mm-hmm. Let's be fair. The first couple of minutes were good, I think. Like, solid animation. Like, you know, they're setting up where they're going to the next place. And the gag with you tasting real curry.
Yeah, that was
time,
perfect.
I got a good laugh out of that. But, and the interrogation scene, the whole sleuthing from Tomori was pretty cool. I got into that. And then you started talking to the camera, and I'm like, wait, what? My immersion kind of started breaking down.
I didn't pay much attention to that, actually. Like, I don't know. I just felt it was you being all high and mighty by trying to talk
nowhere.
With his back to everyone else. But anyway.
Yeah.
Like, nobody does that.
He goes like... He's like, he tells them to stop talking. He's like, wait a second. And he like turns around and looks at him. He's like, so basically what's happening is...
Yeah, exactly.
Just so happens the camera was facing the direction against you, but anyway.
Yeah, I never, like, whenever I watched it, I never really looked at it as him, or I never saw it as him, you know, talking to the camera. I just saw it as sort of him, like, turning his back and sort of taking on that smug, oh, look, I figured out something. I'm, of course, getting smacked down instantly.
I'm understanding, right, guys? It's like, yeah, if that wasn't obvious. So then we're introduced to Yusa and Misa. And that's kind of the point where the episode kind of gets pretty bad for me.
That's where everything fell for me as well.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, I personally liked the episode until Yusa appeared, and I don't even blame Yusa for it. Like, it's because that's when the writing started getting bad. But that being said,
yeah, like,
I'm not a fan of Yusa's personality.
Lots of people in the forum commented. Lots of people on the forum commented that, like, the interactions here felt really artificial. Like, it was just pure exposition and none of it, like, felt natural. Mm. And I'm inclined to agree with them. More so than last episode, at least. Like, they're talking about Yusa like she's not even in the room. Like, she's just like a 3-year-old eating her marshmallows. She might be.
I'm gonna say right now, Yusa is kind of an idiot.
Why did she eat marshmallows with two hands?
That's what's bothering you, SB? What?
It kind of felt like that was like the joke. You know, like, especially whenever Nao starts actually talking to Yusa, she like kind of has like the same tone of voice. It's just kind of like, oh, aren't you cute? You know? Like,
yeah.
I did kind of find that funny.
It was amusing.
It didn't help that, you know, Yusa's kind of supposed to be, like, one of our main characters, and I'm just like, wow, this character is very dull. And then Misa showed up, and I was just kind of like, what? And then Misa kind of started getting better, and I was like, I like this part.
So are you skipping ahead on me, Biz?
It's all right.
Not allowed to mention the Misa part in the Yusa and Misa discussion?
There's not much to say about Yusa. Might as well go to what we have to talk about, because Misa actually...
Misa. She starts off and she's just throwing fire everywhere and just like, what? What are you doing, Misa?
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty
She's
sad.
Suddenly angry, she suddenly kicks her friend who she knows for years, and then she starts...
Look, I'm fine for kicking her friend. Right, she's hardcore. Right. Like, she's angry.
Okay.
But burning the building down for no reason and then not... This is really
it's
weird.
Like,
to me.
It's like she got really offended whenever he was talking about her, right? And she's just like, bitch, don't just talk about me like that to some strangers or whatever. And then she just started setting things on fire for some reason. I'm just like, why are you doing that?
It's almost like the, how we're just talking about how they're talking about Yusa, like, she's not in the room, and then Misa, like, takes offense to it when they start talking about her. It's like, hey, bitch, I'm right here.
It's the total
it's
opposite.
It's almost like one of them is smart.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I guess you were saying, like, moving ahead to the scene at the end.
I wasn't talking about the scene at the end. What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought you were.
I
was just talking about Misa existing was nice.
I have a quick thing to say about Yusa and Misa. Let's talk about their powers for a minute here. I'm still riding on the thing where the powers are supposed to be related to their personality. So I have no idea why Misa would have fire powers. I'm not thinking about that yet. But Yusa has the power to channel her dead sister, and that's kind of important, isn't it? Like. Let's face the reality here. Yusa just lost her sister. That's an important thing. And
Also mention the fact that that's like a really cool power, like in this universe. Like that's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
But that's what is so painful to me about how Yusa is presented, because I'm just like, man, she has such a cool power.
She doesn't show it. She doesn't show much emotion or anything. But I feel that she is legit heartbroken about losing her sister.
But and like, what indication of that do you have?
Her power.
Not to mention because the fact that she isn't aware of any of it.
Yeah. Because she has her power means that I theorize that she's unconsciously longing to be with her sister again. And she just doesn't show it because she has to put on the idle, happy, happy face.
I was going to say the other thing about that is that, like... She doesn't actually know about anything that happens whenever Misa takes over.
Yeah.
Which is kind of unfortunate. It's just like she's there, but you don't know.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, that's all I wanted to say. If I'm writing
on the I really hope they go into that. Like, they could give Yuza some interesting development, how she's like always putting on a face and like, you know, trying to repress her own emotions, but I don't know if they will at this stage. That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Maybe that was like part of how she was designed and intended to be presented, but I have no evidence for that yet, so I'm going to refrain from commenting for the moment.
Well, I would kind of agree to it just depending on if you subscribe to the theory that their powers are based on their personality or what they went through, which I think there's some evidence to support that. If you look at Nal's brother and the fact that he can manipulate sound waves and he's into music and Nal can disappear and she wants to get away from people, that it would make sense that she's developed this power to be able to channel her sister if that's, you know, her big sort of sticking point is that her sister's passed away and that she is missing her. So I think it's plausible.
Well, we haven't confirmed that theory yet, but I'm just riding with it anyway.
Didn't Yeren have some interesting things to say about that?
Yeah, he did. He said how, Yeren said on the forum how, the power is something in their mind, which is why Misa can still control fire, even though she is in Yusa's body. So the powers are not connected to their physical body, but connected to their mental state. And how, it's kind of, they believe in their powers, which is why when they get older, they lose their powers, because when they get older, they stop believing in their powers, something like that. It was a really interesting theory, and I think he might be onto something, but we don't know.
I think he probably is.
Yeah.
With all the connection to psychology and stuff we have, it makes sense.
The power does seem very mental, more than anything. It's not random. That's what I'm hoping.
Then what the hell is Kumagami's power? His backstory.
I do not know. Well, we all know his flaws. He has to be wet, so.
I mean, there's like weird... that's another strange... What a weird power. there's like... You can kind of go further into like how their powers work. And like there's kind of like... Their flaws are also kind of an important part of what it is. Like, for example, you can take control of somebody because he thinks that he's someone else, but in the end he's still just him. And like Yuza can channel the dead, but I mean at first you think, oh well, she can't really control it though, but at the same time it's, well, she wants to talk to her sister, but her power kind of lets her sister talk, but she can't actually talk to her. Now acts like super excited whenever she gets to actually kind of be friends with somebody, like how she gets kind of crazy whenever she's hanging out with you and they're doing stuff. But she's also kind of like escapist because she turns invisible. Mm-hmm. There's like kind of like the flaws also in there with like flaws of their personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess like obviously this episode has drawn to mind a lot of concerns people have for the future of the series. And I don't know, like how are you guys feeling after watching this episode? Like, are you feeling positive or negative or... Let's get that out there.
I'm feeling neutral. I think it might be a one trick pony is what you call it. I don't know.
I'm playing it safe.
Yeah.
I feel like there were negatives in this episode, but I understand the positives that it has towards the future, and I think that there is still potential for future episodes to be very good. I don't think it hindered it too much.
Yeah, I'm. If reserving judgment, because I'm choosing to look at this and say it's just a weaker episode, not that it's just bad and it's not really setting a trend, and just saying, you know, maybe it's just a downswing and that, you know, the next episode's going to hit it out of the park. You know, we don't know.
This episode had purposes.
Hit it out of the park!
I feel like this episode had purposes, and I feel like it's managed to fulfill them. If those purposes are what I think that they are for future episodes.
When I first thought about this, it's like, episode 3, 2, 5 are going to be the weakest of the series. I've just been thinking this from the start. Like, it makes sense that this would be like the slow point before things start getting really interesting with episode 6. It's what we've been promised since the very beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I feel like these next few episodes are going to be the worst of the series. So, like, I'm kind of like reserving my opinion of like, yeah, it's bad, but it's only going to get better. You know,
that's a good way.
I don't know if this is if this is the worst that we're getting, then, you know, I can deal.
I mean, if we're addressing issues, then, I mean, we can at least, or addressing complaints, we can at least, like, try to touch on what the, like, what do you guys think this, like, the actual purposes of this episode were? Like, for example, we learned a little bit about Misa's backstory. Not a lot, just a little bit about, like, her existence and why she's there. She was with some people, she died, now we broke away from that, and that, it's mission accomplished, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was really much intention there for it to be an emotional scene as much as it was like, if people took it emotionally, that's great. And the premise of it is sad, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
But the real point of the episode is now we know that this character exists and came from somewhere, and now we can move on. So I think that was a success.
What was the purpose of having to know that the show is in love with her? I think that's, I personally think that has no purpose. Like, comparing it to episode 2, where we see about Nao's brother's backstory, and some people were already complaining about that, but I think that had a purpose. This time, doesn't have a purpose.
I just thought it was like there was a connection, just kind of like how Yusa and Misa have a connection. There's a connection between two characters. We're not going to see those characters again, and we're just...
I think...
It's there because there needs to be, like... It seems weird to just have, okay, you're coming with us, peace out.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
There needs to... It's very unrealistic for that to be a thing. Everyone has ties to things, and, like,
yeah.
It's also kind of a beneficial facet to Misa's character to know that, like, while she may have been kind of a rebel and kind of hung out with different people and wasn't really a big social person, she still had friends. Like, everyone still has friends, and now...
And she still has a heart. She still has a heart.
I feel like
heart of gold.
Had a lot to do with kind of, like, developing Misa as, like... It gives her a personality. You can also see, like, that she's, like, she treats him very well. Like, she's trying to cheer him up. Like, she's a good person. Like, I feel like there are lots of things that kind of benefited Misa's character there.
Yeah. I guess on a character perspective, you have a point.
Because without that scene, what do you know about Misa other than we made her look really cool and she got mad and set shit on fire? Like... It left you on, like, a good note.
Right. I really liked Misa's character here. Right. Like, I really like the fact that they're not shying away from the fact that she is dead and that these people have had a chance to meet with their dead friend again. That's a really big deal. And, like, yes, it was, like, kind of mushed into, like, a couple of minutes of exposition, but I feel it's important that they acknowledge that and not just sweep it under the rug, like, oh, yeah, she's a dead person, whatever. Like,
and that's exactly why...
She's not just a tool.
That's exactly why I acknowledge it as a good thing and I can appreciate it, because that's what Mida said he was going to do. Like, we have all these side characters, they have stories in place, which is the part that I don't like... But it's also not a focus. Like, we're able to just kind of push on past that. We understand what it was. Let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't like that, of course, because I feel like maybe it would have been better for them to just not have that and just maybe develop Misa in a better way, some other way.
I think so, too. You know, but anyway, whatever. I guess...
It's exactly like I said before, where, like, they're like, we're going to have these characters that aren't really going to be important to the main story. But why would you want people to form an attachment with a character that's pointless? Like, I feel there like there's still enough there. Like, you could totally write that whole story. That story could be written, but it's not. And it feels really annoying. And it feels like there was forced cuts there. And that's what bothers me about it.
All right.
You're probably not wrong. Nah. But I feel good that they did... acknowledge that in the first place. Like, I don't think it would be right if they completely left out that scene altogether.
It had value, so I appreciate it. And that's definitely a beneficial side.
It's made me like Misa a lot more, so...
Oh, yeah.
Since I'm a very plot-focused person, so, I didn't consider the character development and stuff.
Anything to add, Bowie? We've kind of been stealing the show from you.
No, I guess... You know, I wasn't really a big fan of it because of, you know, how quick it went going back to pacing. But, I mean, I understand there wasn't a lot of time. But you don't really have time to form an attachment to these characters, so it's really hard to care about the characters, for me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you're looking at going forward, if Misa's not going to be a prominent character, going forward, and if this is sort of the extent of her character development, then I'm completely okay with this sort of being a wrap-up for her.
Huh. That's interesting.
Well, we'll hopefully...
You're kind of looking at that a wrong way, but I guess I understand where you're coming from.
If not more about Misa, we'll probably see more about Yusa more than anything in the future.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, we need to see more Yusa.
That's sort of what I looked at the episode as a whole as, anyway, is it's sort of a set... It's sort of a stage to set up Yusa's story going forward.
That may be the case. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of running a bit behind time, so let's jump into our interesting observations block.
Yeah.
Guys, what did you observe this episode? Biz, what did you observe?
I saw some just weird stuff. We already talked about the fourth wall thing, which I just thought was really weird. I guess some people don't agree that it was fourth wall, but I don't know. I watched it a few times, and every time I'm just like, he's talking to me. I wanted to mention genetics again. I brought it up previously, but Misa is in Yusa, so maybe that's what gives her powers, but they are sisters.
Yep.
So, boom, genetics, you know?
Another siblings thing.
And, yeah, exactly. So, and, yep, more siblings. So, that's interesting. And last is the title of the episode is Love and Flames.
Which is obvious.
So, love would be Yusa's love for her sister, which shows she can channel the dead. And flames is... That's... I don't even need to explain that one.
There were lots of more astronomy references in this episode. We had there was a building in the OP named Comet 76, and there was the comet clock. I saw a little sign that said "Refrain CD and DVD." That was interesting.
I saw that.
All those little key references scattered around.
I think my observation. I'll stick with the more important one. I observed like how the last episode they pretty much ditched the archery guy, but this episode they now seems to be insistent to get Yusa into Hoshi no Umi. So like it seems that now has something planned for Yusa and or Misa.
Well, I guess the younger.
I have two comments.
Oh yeah.
One, as we just said, Yusa is obviously younger. And the other comment that I have is that other dude's power is pretty fucking useless.
that's true.
Whereas Yusa and Misa's powers are actually pretty intense.
Yeah, that's true.
That's sort of, because if you remember, whenever Nao goes and actually sees him use the power, she's unimpressed by it. She's like, oh, really? This is all it's used for? That's pretty worthless. But whenever she sees me, and it may be that she's inviting Yusa, not so much for Yusa, but for Misa, because remember when she sees Misa use her ability the first time, she just flips crap.
Like, oh, wow. She's on fire.
So, let's move on to our predictions for the series and maybe the next episode. Do you guys have any predictions you want to share? I'll start off with my wild prediction that I reckon, well, I don't think, but a wild prediction is that Nao's benefactor is Sala, the
sweet singer of Zen.
Yeah!
Alright.
That character needs relevance somehow.
Episode 6,
So FYI, for those who don't know, Sala is the lead vocalist of Jiendo. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That hasn't really been established yet. But moving on.
My prediction, this is more of a hope, but I hope and predict that there will be some romantic tension between Jojiro and Yusa. Because Jojiro is a bro, he's going to save her one point or another, she's going to fall head over heels for him. I know it.
I love it. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
I don't think anything's gonna happen with like Nao and you, but I'm hoping for the Jojiro Yusa thing.
Okay, interesting.
I have plenty of interesting predictions this episode.
All right.
So, still sticking to crazy evil school stuff, unless it's broken by this. There's been this trend every episode where, like, we start the episode with you and Ayumi, and at the end of the episode, he comes home late, and she's all mad at him because he's late. Mm. So, I think we need to all listen to the clock.
Oh.
They show the clock that says Comet on it, but the hand, it's like the minute hand or something, is covering the T, so it says come. And there's obviously a time shown on the clock this time around.
Okay, it's so around 1 a.m., I think it was.
If Ayumi is important, okay, and you keep showing up at home at the end of every episode late,
okay,
I predict that one of these episodes, you is going to come home and Ayumi is going to be gone. He's going to find his room has been broken into and Ayumi is going to be kidnapped.
Okay. Ooh. That's a Bowie tier speculation.
Just like the clock says, they're coming.
I'm sorry.
Probably sometime around that hour.
I wouldn't be all that surprised if it actually did happen, yeah.
Interesting. They do keep showing that clock, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I don't know. It could be nothing.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Like the Little Busters anime.
Did you have any speculations, Bowie?
Yeah, I've got two. One's pretty quick. The one is that they're both pretty much a stretch, but one is Ayumi may already have her power and not realize it, and that it may be tied into some kind of predicting the future. And I based it on the fact that whenever she wrote on the omelet rice, she wrote something nice will happen today, and then that was the same day they met Yusa.
I saw that on Reddit, oh my god.
And then the other one, which is a wild, wild stretch, but I'm going to throw it out there because if it's right, then it'll look really cool. And
you mean that wasn't wild?
This one's even more wild. But yeah, you know how Keyworks normally have some overarching theme or takeaway to it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with there's a tie-in due to the fact that powers end when adolescence ends, and they seem to be tied to this comet. That adolescence is going to be tied to the comet, is going to be compared, in that they both only come around basically once a lifetime, and they're both short, and that you should enjoy your adolescence the same way you enjoy the comet in a short time.
I like that! Holy shit!
I like that!
That's so June Maida. Yeah.
That's really a Bowie cool point.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember what my other prediction was.
Yep. Go.
So, episode 4 is obviously going to be about baseball.
Yeah.
I think that episode 5 is going to involve some sort of foodstuffs, because every episode so far has basically followed the exact same thematic shit that Angel Beats has.
Damn it. Alright.
Oh, God.
Alright. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up because we're running out of time, but thank you all again for joining us for this episode. As you know, the next episode, The Ephemeral Truth, is coming out in a few hours' time by the time this is published, and you can check that out, and don't forget to participate in the discussion on the forum, because that's what kind of drives our talks here on the podcast, the book club discussion on the forum. So get your thoughts in there, because we're having some really great discussion each week, and it's pretty exciting to be able to talk about some new content. And we'll meet you again in a week's time for our podcast of that episode. So take care, guys. Play ball! Bam 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 b